A lot of times we see in the gospel, the apostles tend to mess things up or to not get it right. However, in today's gospel, the apostles did the right thing by asking our Lord Jesus, increase our faith. They've been traveling with Jesus for more than a year, living with him, hearing him preach, watching him do his heavenly Father's work through healings, miracles, and calling people to repentance from their sins and their lives. They had been his disciples long enough to start realizing that they needed help in living out their discipleship. They still did not understand many things that Jesus said. They still couldn't help people as much as our Lord did. It would have been tempting for them at that point to get discouraged and maybe even give up and walk away. But instead, they go up to our Lord one afternoon, maybe during a lull in their activities, and ask for his help. They say, increase our faith. And we can make their prayers our own. We can say to the Lord, increase our faith. Yet, Jesus' answers to that prayer request is mysterious. He looks at them, and I imagine he even smiles with his love and tenderness. He must have been glad that he had asked for help instead of abandoning him in his mission. He explains that a tiny little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, is enough to do marvelous things. So from this, we learn an important lesson about ourselves. We are like the apostles in many ways. We know in our hearts that we're capable of doing much more, that we were made for greater things. But we do not realize that God has already given us everything we need to achieve it. He has already planted in our souls the seed of faith, the divine life. He did so at baptism. We should give thanks to God for the day of our baptism, when our parents brought us to church to be baptized. Now, I've encouraged this many times, you know your baptismal date and maybe even have pictures or videos readily available to kind of review that beautiful day. For me, I have some copies of Polaroid pictures, you know, the ones that you would kind of click, you would shake, and 2 minutes later you had an instant picture in it. And so, but after our baptism, as we grow, it's up to us, also with the help of God, to exercise our faith. Our faith has to be exercised. If we do, it will grow like the mustard seed once it's planted. And the more it grows, the more room God will have in our hearts to truly do wonderful things in us and through us. Most importantly, our own salvation, the salvation of the souls around us, our family members, our extended family, our neighbors. However, we must be honest, especially during dark and difficult times, times of suffering, times of tragedy. We feel that we can't not do much of anything, even if we have faith. The prophet Habakkuk, whom we listened to today in first reading, helps us to understand how we should approach those stressful and hard times in faith. And so he gives us a clear idea of what faith actually is. We may not realize it, but Habakkuk lived in the 6th century B.C., when Israel had been conquered by the Babylonians. The majority of the people of Israel, the Jews, had been deported, that is, exiled from their homeland. It was as if a hurricane, like Hurricane Ian, which you've just seen on the news, had swept over not just one city, but an entire country. Not only was Jerusalem devastated, but all the surrounding cities and villages in their country. Habakkuk is in the middle of it all. He sees the devastated cities after city, the countryside, the corpses strewn with dead bodies, burned and barren. He feels the pinch of poverty, hunger, and destruction. He does the most natural thing in the world. He complains to God about it. How long, O Lord, I cry for help, but you do not listen. This teaches us an important lesson. We need to remember the Lord does listen to us. He knows our suffering. It's okay to express the lament of our heart. Say, Lord, I am suffering. This is hard to bear. You know, this is difficult. But the next part is very important. You say, Lord, please support me. Please help me. A strong faith does not mean we won't suffer and be confused in our life. A strong faith doesn't take away our crosses. but a strong faith does show us where to turn when the crosses come. We need to turn to God, our all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving Heavenly Father. God does indeed answer the prophet Habakkuk's prayer. He promises that he will act, that he will restore Israel's fortunes. He doesn't give all the details. In fact, he simply implies that it may take longer than a prophet would like. He says, if it delays, wait for it. Part of having faith and trusting God is being patient. But God shows that he is not aloof from our sufferings. He's watching over us no matter what. He promised that as we continue to have faith in him, in spite of suffering and hardship, we shall live. In fact, if we persevere in faith to the end of our human life, we will inherit eternal life, a place in heaven. So we need to remember, faith is not a problem-free philosophy. That would be superficial and naive. You may say faith is strength with length, or faith is perseverance a day at a time. It's the power to persevere through difficulties, the power that comes from knowing that our Heavenly Father is in charge. We don't see the big picture. We just kind of see what's around us. God sees all of human history. He sees the entire big picture. And that we need to know that he loves us and has not abandoned us. But there's also a second lesson from our first reading we may not want to hear. We realize that tragedies happen to individuals, to families, even whole cities. We must not forget that even whole nations can be devastated, including our own. At times, the agent of destruction of a country is not an invading army, like the example of the Babylonians that conquered Israel. But a nation at times can destroy itself from within. Much of America's family life has been devastated. We've seen that. People have wandered away from the faith. People have been trapped and mired in serious sin. My family is not exempt from that. I have family members who wandered away from the faith, and I have family members who are really struggling. This weekend is also Respect Life weekend as we begin the month of Respect Life. We have faith in God, faith that our Heavenly Father never abandons us. We have faith that we can, with the help of God's help, we can end the evil of abortion in our nation. We've seen great strides in this, especially in the recent Dobbs case that overturned Roe versus Wade. However, many individual states in our country still allow abortion. The evil abortion can be ended, and women in serious crisis pregnancies can be helped and supported. We strive to do that with our diocese and our parish. And we need to continue to pray for these endeavors through fasting and peaceful vigil. Christ wants us to experience the power of faith in our life. So we need to nourish it. Let me give you one practical way. One way to nourish our faith is through reading and studying the Bible. At times it's easy for us to take the Bible for granted. We've been listening to the Word of God in sacred scripture in the Bible every Sunday since we've been brought here by our parents when we were young. Yet this familiarity can actually backfire. It can make us treat this treasure like a trophy that's placed on a bookshelf and it collects dust. We never bring the Bible or open it up, letting it gather dust in the bookshelf. There's no other book in the world like the Bible. It was written by dozens of different authors over the course of 2,000 years. And yet it tells one consistent story, the story of God's saving love for mankind. Every part of the story, every one of the 72 books in the Bibles, although it was written by a human author, was composed under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Most Holy Trinity. In other words, the Bible is the Word of God like no other book. When we read it with that in mind, reflecting upon it, studying it, it feeds our faith, it helps it grow. So we need to know God better. So we need to learn how to follow him. We need light and strength for our lives. Each one of us should have a favorite book, chapter, and verse in the Bible. For me, that's kind of difficult. I like the Gospel of John. I like the whole Gospel of John chapter 6. And there's so many verses in the Gospel in chapter 6 that I like. And we should regularly be digging into it. In fact, we have some dedicated parishioners who want to help each of us in our parish in a very challenging endeavor, an endeavor to read the entire Bible in 1 year. And they'll be coordinating a program developed by Father Mike Smith. Father Mike Smith from Ascension Press has developed a very powerful Read the Bible in a Year program, and during our Advent season, we'll be encouraging, inviting every parishioner to begin this program in January of 2023. And that will be here before you know it. It's only 3 months away. It'll be here soon. The Bible is one of God's greatest gifts to us. It is an inexhaustible fountain of supernatural knowledge. And it's right at our fingertips. Today, when Christ comes to us again in Holy Communion, his most magnificent gift, let's thank him for both the gift of the Bible and the gift of Holy Communion. And as always, in faith, let us follow Christ, our Good Shepherd, who leads us into life everlasting. Amen. Please do bear with me. I do have several important announcements I'd like to make at this time. In addition of October being a Respect Life month, it's also the month of the Rosary. I always encourage praying the Rosary, having a devotion to it. So once again, I got plenty of pamphlets on how to pray the Rosary. They're at our main entrance in the narthex. You're welcome to pick one up or even take one and give them to family and friends. Today, providentially, is also October 2nd. And if you may not know, October 2nd is also the feast day of our guardian angels. We're assigned a guardian angel at the moment of conception in our mother's womb, and our guardian angel will be with us for all eternity. In our bulletin today, I did place the guardian angel prayer in there. So my dear parents, if you like to, you can clip it out and share it with your children and even teach them how to pray it. And it's not just for children. We should have a regular devotion to our guardian angels, asking for their spiritual and physical protection. Hopefully you've noticed that there's something new in our parish in Acton. So this last weekend, we're able to have the pew frontals, the pew screens installed. And so I thank you very much for your support and generosity. However, I have to give a few caveats. I had to rob Peter to pay Paul. Let me unpack that. For some reason, they did not send all the kneelers that we needed for the pew frontals. And so we took some of the kneelers on these three sections over here to make these three sections were all full. So we have a saying in our family, if we didn't have bad luck, we have no luck at all. So I'm not sure we're going to get the kneelers over here to be filled out, but eventually we'll get them. Please do keep those in your prayer. But also, as an important update, if you may not be aware, about 4/5 of our lights are burnt out. And we've been working diligently for several months, many, many months, on a very technical endeavor. This has been a very technical endeavor. However, we're very close to signing a contract. So keep that in your prayer. Maybe this week or next week, God willing, be able to sign the contract. But once we do, there's some lead time to get everything actually manufactured. So once I sign the contract, it may not be until January of 2023, 3 months from now, that they actually start installing them, if we're blessed in that way. So keep that endeavor in your prayers. And it's hard to believe, I've been here more than a year, but I don't think I've actually kind of met everybody or even chanced to greet everybody. And so I've been praying about this, and I've kind of come to realization that at least once a month, I need to greet people in our side entrance. All you good people over here, I want to meet you, to see your smiling faces. And so on the second weekend of every month, I'm going to greet people on this side over here, on this side entrance. So that will start next weekend. So if you don't see me over here next weekend, as it comes, I'm over here, I'll remind you that. So I do like that every second weekend of the month. I did it at my last parish. We didn't have a main entrance. We had two main side entrances. I would bounce back and forth. So I'd like to do that again. And one more thing, please bear with me. We have a lot going on. 2 weeks from today is our big Vianney Fest. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the flags and banners out front. And so we do need volunteers. We'll send an email out tomorrow via Flocknote. Remember, many hands make like work. You can call the parish or check the our parish website to also sign up. But please do so and keep that important endeavor in your prayers as well.